2 Corinthians chapter number 12 this morning as we continue looking at our theme of the year of others. I want to go a little bit different direction this morning as we look at that. And it will definitely tie in, but it'll take us a little bit to get exactly to that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." A number of years ago at a conference, the final message of the conference, someone opened this text and said to us that were there, and everybody that was there was in full-time ministry, and they said, "This is ministry sometimes, isn't it?" If you actually look at the verse, it would say, "I will most gladly incur expense or expend and be exhausted by expending and will spend wholly for you." That's the idea. It's over and over, it's emphasizing the fact that I am going to give everything. But it's not just ministry, it's a mom's life at home with children sometimes, isn't it? It's just life in general sometimes that we feel like no matter how much we give, we just expend and nothing's in return. Paul finishes the verse, and if we were to interpret this, it would be, "Yet it feels like we get nothing back. To the greater degree, or as the more exceedingly I sacrificially love you, the inferior I am sacrificed for," is the idea that Paul is saying there. No matter how much I pour out, it seems like what I get back from you is less in the process. There's a lot we could say about what Paul is dealing with directly in 1 and 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that this morning, because Lord willing, come April, we're going to begin a journey through 1 and 2 Corinthians. I've been already studying it, and it's like, did God pin these words for today? I mean, it literally feels that way as we work through that. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of refreshment. Because life happens, ministry happens, things happen, and we're exhausted, we feel like we just have given and given and given, and the word refreshment means the act of refreshing or the state of being refreshed. Do you feel like sometimes you just need to be refreshed? Like, I'm in the midst of this and I just, you know. The word refresh means to provide new vigor or energy by rest or by food. To make fresh again, to reinvigorate, to cheer up someone. The synonyms would be invigoration or rejuvenation or renewal. What you're going to find is that this subject is a fairly large subject in the Word of God. The word refreshing in the Bible means a cooling. Most of us, if we were probably to ask you, what is your idea when we say refreshment, what's the first thing you think? Well, probably would have something to do with a cooling. A big glass of tea or a big glass of Coke or something, a big glass of lemonade on a hot day. That's refreshing, right? The word refresh means to cause or to permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect their strength. Again, it gives the idea of to give rest or to refresh or to give oneself rest or to take rest, to keep quiet, of a calm, patient expectation. Now, I want us to just pause for a minute this morning. This is not something we as Americans are good at. We go, 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 And when we rest, we go, 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 right? Matter of fact, most of us don't know how to turn it off. And if you wonder about that, just sit at a red light for a millisecond when it turns green, right? And see what happens, you know? It's amazing, isn't it? But we're all that way. But it's interesting as we work through the Word of God, how many times God over and over, even if he doesn't use the idea of refreshment, that the idea is there, even if he's not using that exact word, for us to stop. We would say today, chill out. It's okay. Calm down. Just stop for a minute. Here's something that needs to change in our mentality. We think naturally that rest is wasting time. We think it's not doing anything. It's nothing. But that's not true. From the Word of God standpoint, it's not true. Exodus 23 and verse 12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he... Why? Because he was exhausted from creating the world. Is that why he rested? No. You know how he created the world? Let there be light. It didn't take a whole lot of energy for him to do. What was he doing? He was telling us that it's important for us to stop and rest, to be refreshed. Exodus 31 and verse 17, it is a sign between thee and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, I don't know about you, but does that blow your mind? Like, how was God refreshed? I don't know, but it's that important, right? It's like, wow, our Lord took the time to rest. Someone said in Scripture we read of refreshment by resting on the Sabbath with cool water after physical activity, by soothing music, with encouraging fellowship. All give us the possibility of refreshment. So I want us to see this morning that we must be refreshed continually in order to effectively serve the Lord or do anything. Anything that God's called us to do. Now some of you already in your mind are saying to me, that's nice, Pastor, but you don't understand. I don't have time to do this. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have time to disobey God? Because this is really what it boils down to. It really does. And we'll talk about it as we work through it. But I want us to see a number of things as we look through Scripture today. I want us to be refreshed in a number of ways. Number one, be refreshed in redemption. In redemption. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the burden that was lifted off you? That the sin that you were struggling with, and some of you got saved later in life, and so it was even more present, if you will, with you, and that day that it was off, and how refreshing it felt. Do you know we're not supposed to forget that? We're supposed to be reminded of that. Have we forgotten what our salvation means to us? And do we take it for granted, or do we pause periodically and just say, God, thank you. You redeemed me from the curse of sin. What an amazing thing that is. Don't get over it just because we hear it over and over and over again. We were sinners on our way to hell and God redeemed us. What a wonderful truth that is. Many of you have heard the story of my dad's salvation. What a transformation. Growing up in an alcoholic's home, growing up in a home of a man that was wicked, that tried to kill my dad, that tried to leave him, I could go on and on and on. Many of you know the story. And yet God saved my dad. And when he was saved, he couldn't even read John 3:16. But what a transformation. I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. I grew up in a home of a dad who loved me. If I called my dad today, matter of fact, I just talked to my mom and dad Thursday, I think it was, and my dad now can't talk a whole lot, but he said, tell him I love him. Do you know my dad never one time heard that phrase from his dad? Never. What's the difference? Redemption. That's the difference. And what a refreshment that is for us. But number two, we find refreshment in rest. In rest. Romans 15 and verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. This word means to take rest together, to refresh one's spirit with one. In other words, Paul says, I'm going to come and together we're going to be refreshed when we rest together. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. This word means to take a breath, to refresh oneself. You ever heard someone say, maybe to yourself or to others, breathe, like just breathe, okay? Well, that's the idea of what God's saying here. Okay, it's okay, calm down, breathe. Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This word is translated rest, refresh, take rest, give rest, take ease. It means to cause, to permit one to cease from any movement or labor to recover and collect his strength. Can I just tell you that most of us don't even know how to rest? We don't take the time to literally stop what we're doing and rest. Because there's something going on all the time. But we wonder why we're in trouble overall. Okay. Let me give you some stats, okay? And these are old, really old, okay? They're 1998. That's ancient, isn't it? It's getting more ancienter all the time. I know that's not a word, I'm just saying, all right? It states this, as a nation, we in the United States of America consume 5 billion tranquilizers, 5 billion barbiturates, 3 billion amphetamines every year. Now, let me ask you a question. You think it's gotten better? Nope. Why? People are trying to deal with what's taking place in their soul as well as in their body. Sean and David Murray, in a book called Refresh, says, we underestimate the impact of an exhausted body on our mind and on our soul. Matter of fact, can I tell you, sometimes the devil's worst temptations come when we're exhausted. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Why did Satan wait to tempt Jesus until the end of his 40-day fast? If he was going to tempt him to turn stones into bread, do you think he was hungry at 40 days? Do you think he was exhausted at 40 days? Remember, he's human too. Okay? See, Satan loves to use those things against us. Psalms 127 and verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Murray again says, we are sleeping between 1 and 2 hours fewer per night than people did 60 years ago and 2.5 hours fewer than 100 years ago. And we're so much more productive. I was being sarcastic. Karen Swallow Pryor wrote, our need for rest is so central to our humanity that God set aside one day a week for it. Rest is often treated less like friend and more like foe. Do you remember what our Lord did with Elijah? Now, just pause for a moment and remember what Elijah had done. Remember, he said, it's not going to rain till I say so. And so for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And now the whole nation's after him, and particularly Ahab is after him. And he finally shows up on the scene, and he has an all-day-long showdown with the prophets of Baal. It's not really a showdown, okay? But he's there. It's hard work to make fun of people, right? I mean, because that's what he does. People who say that there's no sarcasm in the Bible. Did you not read Elijah? Because I think there's some sarcasm there. You know, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a vacation. You guys probably should yell a little bit louder, right? I mean, it's there. Then he builds the altar. You know the story. Then he kills somewhere between 400 and 800 prophets of Baal. Take the less number. A little bit of day's work. With a sword, by the way. Then he runs, depending on who you hear. There's various arguments about how far it is. Either a half marathon or a four marathon. 13 to 26 miles runs. And he outruns chariots. Then he goes a day's journey into the wilderness. This is all recorded in the scripture, right? And then he sits down underneath the tree and he says to God, I'm done. Just kill me. And what does God do? Sleep, food, sleep, food, sleep. Don't you love God? Like, he didn't even answer Elijah. He didn't say to Elijah, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, Elijah. If you wanted to be dead, there was a lady back there you're running from that would have accommodated you. God didn't say any of that. I just put him to sleep. I say to Bible college students all the time, I'll say to you, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. That's the truth. Okay. And then what did God do? Okay, Elijah, now you're ready to minister again. God never deals with Elijah's, oh. I love that about our God. Rest. Do you believe the lie that, as someone said, if I neglect my body, my soul and mind will still flourish? It won't. It won't. When's the last time you set aside time to rest? Just to rest. Number three. This won't apply to all of you yet, but we'll talk about it anyway, okay? Number three, be refreshed in romance. Yes, they're all ours, just in case you're wondering. Okay? David Clark, in his book, Kiss Me Like You Mean It, says, God is the source of true passion in marriage. It comes from him and only from him. Great passion cannot exist without great friendship, Clark says. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16, his mouth is most sweet, yea, is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. We could look over and over again in the book of Song of Solomon where it says, come away, my love, and be with me. Just get away and rest and do some other things. Just in case you're wondering, that's what the book of Song of Solomon says, okay, in the process. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. God says, yes, there's times for you to be spiritual, if you will, fasting and prayer, but there's also times when that should be limited and let's come back together. Be refreshed in this. I love what somebody said. This is great. This is a complete quote from them, right? He says, when's the last time you had a date? Laughed together. Played together. We had a nice time, you say? A date is not supposed to be a nice time. You have a nice time with your mother or your Aunt Bertha. A real date with your spouse ought to be fun, stimulating, romantic, and sensual. That's why you got married. That's it. I know. He's talking about this in church. Yeah, it's in the Bible. When's the last time you and your mate had time alone? Just refreshment. Time to spend time together. Number four, be refreshed in relationships. And this really is where our theme is tied into this, because it's a concentration on others. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. By the way, most Bible scholars believe that Onesiphorus gave his life to refresh Paul. He ultimately died for it. Philemon 1 and verse 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." The word refresh means to refresh one's spirit, to cool off or recover from the effects of heat. 1 Corinthians 16, 17, and 18, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanias and Fortuitus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are in such." 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13, "Wherefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy we had, we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Acts 27 and verse 3, "The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." And relationships. Spending time with people that are refreshing. Do you have people like that in your life? You just get around them and you just feel good after you leave. It's like they're the kind of person that just encourages you. I have friends like that and I'm grateful. One commentary said this: "The presence of Christian friends is much, but their conversation, the opening of their hearts, the inquiry concerning our labors, our successes, our failures, these are all much to be desired. Not only the communication of knowledge and advice from our superiors, but the friendly conversation of our equals, and even the sympathy and heart, a revelation of those in some respects beneath us, may prove truly recruiting to our energies and restorative to our spirits." Spending time with God's people. Matthew Eanlund, in his book, The Power of Rest, "Why Sleep Alone Is Not Enough," says, "Friendships reduce depression, improve our immune system. Harvard researchers found a strong connection between success and the amount of love enjoyed in life." All this connected to this. Isn't it amazing that God knew what he was talking about? Researchers are finally figuring out. Do you have friends you enjoy being around? Are they a refreshment to you? Can you share with them your heart's desires, your hurts, your difficulties? And they just, when they get with you, you can't wait till the next time. Have you taken time to just be together? When's the last time you had a good laugh? Like, well, man, life's difficult. I know that. But maybe the very medicine you need is a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Maybe that's what you need. Number five, be refreshed in reflection. As you evaluate, is this what God wants for me? And where am I headed? And what am I doing? How could Paul say in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6 and 7, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." How did Paul know that? Unless he knew exactly what God had planned for him as he evaluated it. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." Ephesians 5 and verse 16, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Isn't it refreshing to know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do? And you're like, "Well, I don't know that." Well, find out. Because it is really refreshing to do that. You're like, so you're saying that if we know exactly what God wants us to do, you don't get tired. That's not what I said. But in the midst of it, we know this is what God's calls us to do. I'm headed in the direction God wants for me. Are you satisfied in where you're headed in life? And do you know where you're headed? Do you know this is what God wants for me? This is what God called me to do. You're like, well, I'm not called to ministry. I wasn't talking about ministry. I was just talking about life. Is this what God wants me to do? And am I headed in that direction? Number six, be refreshed in renewal. In renewal. Are you growing in areas? Are you reading? Are you learning? Are you meditating in God's word? Have you stopped growing? Like, well, I mean, you know, after all, I'm such and such age. So? Like, why should that mean we stop growing? Why should that mean we don't continue to improve on areas in our lives and hearts? Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." In other words, God's saying, just as rain and snow water the earth, because the earth is going to bring forth and bud, it's going to produce that which we need, whether that's leaves on trees or whether that's grass or whether that's crops or whatever it is, just like that. The Word of God does that for your spiritual life. It waters your soul because you desperately need it. Colossians 3 and verse 10, "And that you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." The word renewed means new strength or vigor is given to one. Again, Murray says, "One of the first things I try to do when counseling women with depression is to have them schedule an hour in the day when they stop what they're doing, find a quiet spot, read a book, or do something creative. Just stop and rest. Are the books we're reading and the new things we're learning refreshing us both spiritually and physically and emotionally? Are we growing? Are we staying fresh in what God is doing in our lives? How have you stretched yourself lately? Now, Pastor, I've been at this a long time. Are you still breathing? You are. Just in case you're wondering about that. Or you wouldn't be here. Though some of you look like you're dead, you're actually not, okay? You're still breathing. You're like, so what's your point? The point is God still has a purpose for you. Or you wouldn't be here. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God's got a purpose. So what is he wanting me to do? What is he wanting me to create? What is he wanting me to try to accomplish? Wouldn't it be a shame for us to get to heaven and God said, "Boy, you did great, but those last 5 years, you just coasted." I don't want that. Number 7, be refreshed in reward. You say in reward? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:12. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." The truth is, Paul says that we're to go after the prize. That's what we're to strive for. It's not totally wrong for us to be striving for the reward. Now, what are we going to do with those crowns, those rewards? We're going to lay them back at Jesus' feet, but it's exactly what we're to work for. Over and over in Scripture, God tells us that we can't even imagine what God has laid up for us. So are we living today for that day when he rewards our faithfulness? Are we living, if you will, this day for that day in view? Number 8, be refreshed in rejoicing. In rejoicing. Philemon in verse 20 says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." You know, it's interesting. Researchers have found the average adult laughs 25 times in a day. The average child, 400 times in a day. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And it's interesting, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." have another piece of pie with a glass of sweet tea. Amen. This is what that verse is saying. You're like, come on, Pastor. That really is what the verse is saying. Now, they may not have sweet tea back then. Was it Northern Israel or Southern Israel he was talking about? I'm kidding. This is good. Can I ask you this? Is it refreshing to be around someone who is a complainer? Most of the time, we don't want to be around those people, do we? No. Is it refreshing to be around someone who is rejoicing? It really is. Do you look around you and see the problems and the things you don't like, or do you look around and see the blessings? Are you living life rejoicing? Are you living life complaining? You're like, well, you don't understand. There's a bunch to complain about. I do understand. I do know that there's things to complain about. We all would have them. But there's an awful lot to rejoice about, isn't there? I mean, if our Lord only saved us, if that's all he did, we would have enough to rejoice in from now to eternity. But that's not all he does, because he says he daily loadeth us with blessings. So either God's lying or you ain't looking. I have a really good idea which one it is. Right? We just miss it. Rejoice. Be refreshed in it. J.R. Thompson says, these six things happen when we are refreshed. Number one, depression gives place to cheerfulness. Depression gives way to cheerfulness. Number two, weariness gives place to vigor. Number three, sluggishness gives place to vivacity. Number four, despondency gives place to hope. Number five, inefficiency gives place to successful labor. Number six, doubt gives place to living confidence. All when we're refreshed. See, here's what the devil has convinced us of. He's convinced us that we can accomplish more for God, quote unquote, in 7 days than we can in 6 days. And after all, isn't serving God what you're supposed to be doing? When God says you can accomplish more for me in 6 days and rest on the seventh than you can the other way around. Now, since when has the devil told you the truth? Right? Now, let me ask you this way, okay? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think in your mind. How many of you live a lot better on 90% of your income than 100% of your income? Now, that makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't make sense that you give to God and that money goes further. And don't try to put it on paper, because that really doesn't make sense. Because God's economy is different. So is his rest economy. That's the deal. You're like, well, I mean, yeah, but. Wait a minute. Can we just stop saying that? Because God has told us what we're supposed to do. Maybe we just need to start obeying him. And watch the miracle take place. Maybe the reason we're struggling with all of these things is because we simply haven't obeyed God in this one area. I've just been refreshed. I love what Matthew Henry says. There is self-love which is corrupt and the root of the greatest sins, and it must be put off and mortified. But there is a self-love which is the rule of the greatest duty. We must have a due concern for the welfare of our own souls and bodies, and we must love our neighbors as truly and sincerely as we love ourselves. It's a powerful statement. Again, Murray says, a grace-paced life involves recognizing God's grace in all the different refreshment stops He has placed for us along life's way. Will we take the time to be refreshed? Will you take the time before you leave here today to pick one of these things, just one, and say, that's an area I struggle with, and I need to work on that right there. All the excuses in the world that we can come up with are just that, they're excuses. Am I going to do what God told me to do? Now, this is not a complaint. I want you to hear me. This is not a complaint. But there is never a day that I leave the office or whatever and don't think there's more I could have done. There's another visit I could have made. There's another text message I could have sent. There's another letter I could have written. Maybe I could have spent a little more time studying in that particular category or whatever. There's never a day when that doesn't happen. But there is a time when God says, you've done what you could. Now let me take over. God's not telling us to be lazy. We're to be diligent in what God has given us. What He's saying, though, is when we've done what He's given us to do, then trust Him. Trust Him as we trust our finances. Well, God, this makes no sense for me to give to you first, none whatsoever, because I can't meet the bills anyway. But then He meets the bills, and you're like, I don't know how that happened. His economy is not the world's economy. His rest economy is not the world's economy. I've said this often, and with this I'll be done. I've said this often. Matter of fact, this week I think I said it in one of my classes. Some of the guys are going to hear this again. If a missionary came to me, matter of fact, let's say that missionary was at our church, and they said to us from the pulpit up here, they said, hey, I am so convinced that God wants me on the mission field, I would lie, cheat, steal, or do anything to get a chance to share the gospel. What would we say to him? Well, we're not going to help you do that, right? We would clearly know that. And yet, if they run themselves to death for 5 years on deputation and go to the mission field and never take a day of rest, we're okay with that somehow. Can I tell you they're both disobedient to God? You're like, well, I mean, look at some of the great men and women of the faith. Look how hard they worked. I mean, after all, they accomplished a lot for God. Yeah, and they were dead at 25 and 27 and 29 and 32 and 33 and 39 and 45. They were dead and gone. Now, I'm not necessarily criticizing them. I'm just saying, don't always hold them up for an example. Because maybe what happened was they wore themselves out instead of resting like God told them to rest. Here's part of what happens in this idea of refreshment, okay? Is it simply is putting my faith in what God told me to do. He told me to do this, so I'm going to trust Him in the process. Okay, now the question is, are we going to obey it? Are we going to offer the excuses of this American mentality of go, 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 go? Are we going to do what God told us to do and be refreshed and work on refreshing others, just being a blessing to them? That's what God wants for us. Yes, Paul says, I would gladly spend and be spent for you. Yes, we should spend. But be refreshed in all of these things because God wants us to. Father, thank you for your word. We need it. I need the reminder. So many times we lean unto our own understanding instead of trusting you. Thank you for these reminders from Scripture. In your name we pray. Amen.